Let's ask the Lord's help. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are in our midst and mighty to save. Thank you that your word is full of light and power. And you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And I ask you, Father, to impart your word in our hearts, Lord, that we might grow in grace in the knowledge of your Son and grow in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might have your presence with us and in us to reach the lost with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have so much in my heart, I don't know where to start, but that's all right. I believe that when I was a young guy and really busy, I was working a 50-hour job. I was working probably 30 hours in the church. I was memorizing scriptures and going through the school of the Spirit at the time, I believe. And right after that, I'm not sure. Time-wise, I was working as a car salesman, as a part-time job on top of that for Clark Morris. And I felt like I was sleeping spiritually. That's how I felt. I was reading the Word of God and reading about Jesus in the garden with the disciples, and the disciples couldn't even stay awake an hour to pray for Jesus in his most hard time on the earth. And I asked the Lord, Father, will you please wake me up? I don't want to be like the disciples. I know you have a call deeper than that. And it says in there, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? That was the verse. And so, I'm working for Clark Morris, and the next day or the day after that, no, 1 or 2 days later, he hands me this notebook with a title on the front of it, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And it just kind of blew me away that God heard me that quickly. He doesn't want us to be sleeping. He wants us to be awake. And I believe that the wind of the Spirit is blowing and waking up his body again. I believe at large the body of Christ is sleeping more than awake. And I implore you by the Spirit of the Lord, pray for the body of Christ to wake up. Because I don't want the enemy to have his way and destroy this country. I don't want the enemy to have his way and send millions of people to hell. I want the Holy Spirit to have his way in our generation and the next generation. To have his way and to be alive and active in the earth. I want to see thousands and thousands saved and healed and delivered. And I think there's in that time period what I was talking about, there was this deep desire in me to stay awake and pray with the Lord. And an hour seemed like an impossible thing. I was so busy, it was like, when do I have an hour to do that? You know? And I started going through the series and listened to the tapes that were in the series, and it talks about the Lord's Prayer and how to activate the Lord's Prayer in your life. But I believe there was a desire in me that I wanted it to come into a discipline, so I would be doing it every day. And I knew the Lord wanted to make it a delight in my life. And He wants to make it a delight in your life. And I know some of you are prayer warriors. And that's wonderful. But all of us can be polished in this. All of us can get better at this. It's time to take it by the horns and do it. And do it well. The more we do it, the more in your life you'll find the call of God. I believe this one thing is the call of every Christian: a life of prayer. I believe He's called us all to a secret place that's His and yours alone. And I believe that He wants to show you that secret place. He wants to be with you in that secret place. I think our Father's greatest desire for us and Him is to come and sup with us. Come and be with us. And be our God. And we His son or daughter. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We can stay in His presence 24 hours a day. I don't believe we have to go in and out. I believe His desire is to be with us where we understand He's with us every second of every day. And I just want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Press into a secret place. Press into a special time with the Lord. I challenged the college kids on Monday last week. Give Him 5 minutes to begin with. 5 minutes is not a long time. But 5 minutes with Him is like one of His most precious things that happens in the day. For Him. For Him. For Him. Because He wants you to do that. He wants you to be with Him. He wants to know you. He wants to know your needs. He knows everything about you, but He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to know Him. And as we spend time together with the Lord, He rubs His presence off on us. He allows us to be more like Him. His deepest desire is for us to conform to the image of Jesus. That's His deepest desire. He wants us to be conformed to His image. So, let's go to Matthew 21, please. And Jesus, this is verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all that sold and bought in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold pigeons. And He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves or robbers." And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Hallelujah. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to Him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, I have perfected praise.' And leaving them, He went out to the city of Bethany and lodged there." He goes into the temple, I believe Jesus is coming into His temple all the time. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He comes to our temple, and he looks for places of weakness and insecurities and things that aren't supposed to be there. And He tries to drive them out. He wants to drive them out. He wants you to be holy and clean. That's His will. And he has this broom and He just sweeps the temple. I see Him sweeping the temple. But He came in the temple and He turned the money changers over. That was cheating and lying and robbing people. That's what they were doing. And He turns them over and He kicks all those things out. And then it says the blind and the lame came. So it went from a temple that needed to be cleansed to a temple that people were blind and lame came in and they got healed and went to a healing place. And then the chief priests get all upset because the kids are saying Hosanna and that was their job. And He says, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and infants? I have perfected praise. So it became a place. It went from the temple to a temple that was cleansed, that was clean, that was whole. Then it became a healing place. Then it became a place of perfected praise. Does that make sense? And I think that's what God is up to these days. He's cleaning our house. He wants to dwell with us a lot more than he gets a chance to. I believe one of the greatest gifts we have, excuse me, is time. Time is our greatest commodity. We only get so much of it. We only have so many hours in a day. And I believe we need to pray a lot. Teach us to number our days that we might incline our hearts unto wisdom. That's Moses. One of Moses' sayings out of Psalm 90. And another one is, redeem the times for the day is evil. Redeem the time for the days are evil. Let's redeem the time and give some to Jesus. So I got this series and I started to go through it and it was a difficult journey. I don't know how else to say it. I had people come and watch the videos with me and for like 7 weeks long. I mean, there were 7 different videos. And he preached on the Lord's Prayer. And as I listened to that man preach and listened to the Word and started to take the Word that he preached and put it into my heart and do it, I remember nights when I was, the only time I ever had to pray was nighttime. I was up by 6 in the morning and out by 7 o'clock. I was in this building for 6 or 7 hours a day in a Christian school at the time. And I was doing 5 or 6 or 7 meetings at night, depending on the week. The only time I had was nighttime. And most of that time was in my sleep time. That's all I had left. And I decided I was going to try to be a doer of this and do it. And as I did it, I remember the war very well. I remember one night standing in my living room because I couldn't sit down or I'd go to sleep. And I'm holding myself up on the wall, just standing there, with my back braced to the wall, trying to make my body behave itself. That's the kind of attitude or push you have to put into this. The enemy does not want you to do this. It freaks him out. He's scared to death of this. Because when you do this, you become a house of power. You become a house for the glory of God to be in and the presence of God to reside in. He doesn't want that on the earth because it threatens him and it threatens all that he represents on the earth. So he will fight it, but you can press into it and win. And when you win, he backs off. Remember Jesus in the wilderness? He had all those temptations going on. I think he had more than three myself. I think he was tempted for 40 days. I think that he knew who he was and he was going to try to take him out any way he could. I think the Bible just shows us three of them. And every time he used the word of God and he defeated him. And then it says, and Jesus came forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And the enemy went away until a more opportune time. He went away from him. Didn't bother him anymore. He couldn't beat him, so he pushed him away for a while. And we as sons of the Most High and daughters of the Most High God have that same authority to push him away for a while. You better not mess with me. Because he has nothing in me. Nothing. My sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. The punishment has already been made for them. You have nothing but everything to gain by spending time with Jesus. Anyway, so let's do Matthew 6 now, Connor, please. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not do it like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Can you stop for a minute? I believe prayer is a private thing. I believe it's talking to God. There's many secret places. A secret place can be your car and you. And him. A lot of times when I was younger, I'd use my drive time as a secret place. Because you can get as loud as you want in your car. You don't have to think about other people. Don't do that. You got to pay attention, but you have the authority to just do things. Another place, I mean, you can find your inner room, just like he said, and go in there and make that a... I've seen movies about the prayer room that this one lady had, and it was filled with notes of prayers that she was asking God to do. And in the midst of all that, you see God move in her life and in the lives of those that prayed for her. It was a powerful movie. But I believe that. I have a secret place in my house, my whole house. But a lot of times I'll go down to my office because it's more private down there. And I believe that The Lord will meet you wherever. And He's waiting for you. Sometimes He comes anyway and kind of blows through us a little bit and gets our attention because we really need something. He doesn't want you to get hurt. He doesn't want you to unnecessarily go through something. And He'll try to get our attention. Sometimes we don't hear Him. And He still loves us. And He still forgives us. And He still calls and beckons to us. All day long He stretches His hands out to us, it says in Isaiah. All day long. And a lot of times we're obstinate. And we're rebellious and we do our own things. And He still, His love is so bigger than that. But I challenge you, step into it. Step into it. Do it on purpose. Okay, can you finish? And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Please stop a minute. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. You start by prayer by worshiping the Lord for who He is. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. If you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, up the words for the Lord, there's many names of God. And you can start the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your name is righteousness. You're my righteousness. You can make it personal. You are my righteousness today. Today I'm going to walk in your righteousness. You are my peace today. You are my ever overflowing presence. Jehovah Shemach. Ever overflowing presence. That one just blows my head away every time I hear it or say it. Because He wants to overflow us like that. You are my banner over the place of death. A banner is something that led the Israeli people into battle. And it was where they had to go and what they had to do. It was their signal to know what to do and how to fight. He's that banner over us. He will do that for us. You are my sanctification. It's another one. He sanctifies us. Each one of you have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. If you believe Jesus is Lord. And it means that you take somebody out of one place and you pick them up and you put them in another place. And that place is a place of righteousness. That place is a place of sonship and daughtership. You're taking it out of the world. You're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You become a son and daughter and you're set apart for His work. That's what it means. You can say all those things. And start holding you start with those things and you start meditating on those things and the Spirit of the Lord starts to entertain it. Very good, very well. It's incredible. And then it says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. On heaven as it is in earth. On earth as it is in heaven. I messed it up. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in His Holy Spirit. Where are those things? Inside of us. Amen. And another place in Luke, it says, the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside of us. So we as representations of Jesus on the earth, bring the kingdom of God with us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. When He was on the earth, He was bringing the kingdom with him to anoint us with his power to do the work of the ministry that he did when he was here. Amen? And his kingdom is alive and powerful. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That starts with me. This is an earthen vessel on this earthen earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense? Because it's supposed to be here. And everybody else is also, but the first thing you have to get edified is yourself. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. It's just the way it is. But if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you have to get yourself the kingdom flowing in it. You have to have the kingdom come to you first. And I remember wanting to know it in my knower. I wanted to know down here that the kingdom was coming for today. Does that make sense? Not up here. I wanted to know in my spirit that God had brought his kingdom inside me for that day. And sometimes that took an hour of pressing in. And I pressed into it and pressed into it. I want to know it, God. I don't want to just know it in my head. It's worthless in the spirit. I want to be filled with the spirit. I want to speak with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I want to sing melodies in my heart to the Lord. That's just other things that go with it. And so what I did is I pressed into it. And after praying in the Holy Spirit and just looking to Jesus and waiting on him, he would come. And I know it in my knower that his kingdom was going to be in me today. And then I do it for my wife. And then I do it for my kids. And then I do it for the church. This church. And then I do it for the church in the earth. And then I do it for the lost. And by the time you get through, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you're ready to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Your heart's in the right place. Your head's in the right place. You're flowing in the Holy Spirit, and he meets all those needs according to his riches and glory. And I saw lots of prayer being answered in those days. Lots of miracles. I saw supernatural things happen in the basic ministry. I saw hundreds and hundreds of things happen that were beyond what I knew in my own heart I could have done. Forgive us our debts. Give us our trespasses, Catholic Church says. We forgive our trespassers, those that trespass against us. This is a biggie to me. This is probably the one that makes it work the most. And the one that we as people have the most trouble with. I believe Connor, can you go down to in Matthew 6 again? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if we forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Those words were hard to take sometimes because there was so much in my soul that hurt. There were times when it hurt really bad. Because when we live in this world, the enemy wants to take us out any way he can, and he will try to throw stuff at us to do that. And one of the things He throws at us the most is wounds that hurt us. Because He knows if we don't forgive, He can put us into the tormentors. He can take us into the place of torment and keep us there. So I believe there's decisions that are easy to do if you do them the right way. It's never easy to deal with emotional stuff. It's not. I'm not going to tell you I have it all together. I'm just telling you that there is a prime grace mode where there's ultimate grace to step into the love of Jesus. And that's when it happens. When it happens to you and you're hit with this awful thing that somebody did to you, or some situation did to you, or some car that got out of whack in the road did to you, can happen anywhere, anytime. Your response, if you look to the Lord in that time, and you say to the Lord, "Lord, I choose forgiveness. Even though everything hurts and everything is contrary to it, I choose your forgiveness because you asked me to do that." And you step out of, it's like, I wish there was two of me so I could step out. Because you step out of yourself and your selfishness and your hurts, and you step into the Spirit of the love of God immediately. That's what happens. The love of God is shed abroad in that. And when the love of God is shed abroad in that, you might not feel better for a while, but you know in your knower that God is on your side and He'll work it out. Does that make sense? He'll work it out for you. And He'll work through the process. He works through the process. He works through the emotional hurts in our souls. As I've been with Jesus over the years, Jesus, I'll ask Him a lot, "Search me and know my heart, and try me and know my way, and see if there's any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And sometimes He'll say, "Okay, let's take a walk," sort of. That's how it feels. Let's talk about this or that. And honestly, I don't remember, because when he forgives those things, they're gone. And I don't remember them anymore. But there was some pretty heavy stuff in my life as a youth. And He had to take me through all those places that hurt me and clean me out. And He's still in the process. I'm not going to say I'm finished. I find stuff every day sometimes that He's still working on. But He loves us enough that He'll do that. And you get to the point where you know that you've walked in it. You know that you've walked in it. It's not a question of, "I don't know that I did it or I didn't do it." All of a sudden you're stepping into a place where the presence of the Lord is on you, and you know the presence of the Lord is on you, and you know that you have done what you're supposed to do, and it seals His peace inside of you. You come into this place of peace. "And lead us not into temptation." I get to that part of the prayer, and I'd ask the Lord to lead me by the Word of God, or lead me by the Spirit of God. Don't let temptation come. Will you please lead me yourself so I don't have to be tempted to be led? And it changed the way things happened in my life. A lot. And then it says, deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. What does it do? He goes back into worship. It's your kingdom, it's your power, it's your glory. But He delights to share it with us. He delights in it. He delights if you give Him 5 minutes. I get a picture in my mind when I say that of, I know God is not a person, but I get this picture of God kind of rubbing His hands together with delight and glee. Yes, I get to spend time with my kid. Yes, he's going to come and talk to me for 5 minutes. Yes. That's how much He loves you. He loves you that much. He wants to be with you that much. Develop a prayer time. If you don't, you'll go through your year and you'll go through the war and you'll go through the fighting the wars. You go through struggles and you go through hardships. You're going to do that anyway, but you won't change. You won't get better because you're not spending time with your King. You'll be the same next year as this year, and with the same old struggles. But if you decide, now is the time and today is the day, I'm going to start today, Jesus will help you do that, and in a year's time, I guarantee you, you will know Him better. And you will know His presence better. And He'll be on you more. And it's an awesome thing. Because that was in the 1980s that I started that. And today, it never goes away from me. Never, never goes away from me. I just want to read a psalm to you. Maybe two, right? This psalm to me is attitudes, mostly attitudes. Attitudes that we should have to be able to carry the presence of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. And my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. How lovely is thy dwelling place. That's your secret place. That's what he's talking about, I think. I think the person that wrote that psalm was a person that was in the Tabernacle of David all the time. Tabernacle of David was praise and worship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He lived in the temple of the Lord. And he did it, but he loved it. You can tell he loved it. And God visited him. Lovely is thy dwelling place. It's an attitude. I want your place to be lovely in my heart, Lord. I want your dwelling place in my heart to be lovely to you. My heart sings for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and a swallow, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. There's a verse in the Sermon on the Mount that he talks about the lilies of the field and the birds and how he feeds them. He feeds the birds and the lilies show his glory. The birds were on his altar and he let them be there because he loves the birds. He loves the animals. He loves this creation. And he provided for it. That's where they wanted to build their nest. It was okay with him. That blesses my heart. But These verses are a takeoff, I think, of the other ones. Even a spare, I'm sorry. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. It brings, when you're in the Spirit and you've done your work and before the Lord, praise is a normal. It comes out of you. It comes out of you and comes out of you. That's why he says, ever singing your praises. I know he was in the tabernacle all the time doing that, but says pause and think about that a while. I've pondered this a lot. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. That has challenged my heart. Every time I hear that verse, it challenges my heart more. In whose heart are the highways to Zion? The highway is a to Zion. Zion is Jerusalem, where the temple was. I believe that highway he's talking about is from heaven to earth. I believe all of us have a highway inside of us. There's a river of life, it says, that flows out of our bellies. Shall come rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. And it comes out of us because it's come down from the Father. And what's that highway for? The healing of the nations. Redeeming people. Whatever it has to be. You know? And here it says, when they go through the valley of Baca, which is a valley of weeping, which is a very hard time. I looked it up. I knew it was the valley of weeping, but it says an emotionally and physically hard time. That's what it is. Does it mean we're going to have all bliss? No, we're going to go through emotional hard times and physical hard times. We're going to be tried. But it says here, when they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. In the midst of that roar, in the midst of that valley, there's a place in God where He will bring up the springs. He will bring up the spring. He will take care of it. It might be something in your body. He'll take care of it. It might be something else. He takes care of it. I've seen it doing it over and over again. He does that. But you have to press into it in that valley. It says He makes the valleys come up and the mountains come down and makes the path level before us. He does that, but you have to use your faith to get there. He doesn't just automatically do it. He does it in line with the faith you exert in that system. Does that make sense? So it's a walk of faith and a journey of desire. But you're walking with the Lord and you're listening to Him. And He takes those rough places and makes them smooth. And the valleys and makes them up. Next one. The early rain also covers it with pools. And then this is the promise. They go from strength to strength until they come. Sorry, my mind is... Each one appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. It says in the scriptures in the New Testament, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being transferred from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And strength is just like that. I think that's a New Testament rendition of the Old Testament. But it's a powerful thing. Go from strength to strength, even to appear before God in Zion. Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is desiring us as a people to get serious. Really get serious about Him. I know you guys are serious already. I'm not putting you down. I just know that there is a place that the Lord wants to take us that we're just kind of scratching the surface at. And I know that His favor is upon the righteous, and He wants to take us deeper. He wants to take each one of us deeper. He wants to take us deeper corporately. And I think that as we press into this, if we will decide as a church to be known in Oneonta as the church that prays, I think God will do mighty things here. And I challenge you guys, let's be the church that prays. Amen? Yes.